This is Tech News Briefing from the Wall Street Journal.
Hello, welcome. I'm Tanya Bustos, reporting from the newsroom in New York. According to personal tech columnist for the Journal, David Pierce, in the swing from calls to texts, we lost the warmth and humanity that made the telephone work in the first place. Coming up, the better ways to talk now that we no longer do that on the phone. But first, these tech headlines. Univision Communications is exploring a sale of Fusion Media, which houses websites including Gizmodo and Deadspin, as it pursues a company-wide restructuring following a leadership change. The move would be a reversal for Univision, best known as the largest Spanish-language TV broadcaster. Over the past several years, it has invested in digital assets and sought to diversify its audience by buying English-language websites that appeal to younger bilingual Hispanic Americans. Fusion Media Group's other properties include Lifehacker, The Root, and a stake in The Onion's parent company. The Journal looks at how, for China, tech giant Tencent is both a national champion and a threat. WeChat, which has more than a billion users in recent years, has emerged as the main conduit for personal, business, and institutional communications in China. That makes Tencent a national champion, a technology powerhouse that can stand with the world's best, but also a threat to a communist party accustomed to keeping tight reins on the nation's communications. Read more about its inherent conflict between business and the government at WSJ.com. Software firm Quorum Business Solutions, a software provider to the energy industry, is betting that a rebound in oil prices will help it land a new owner. The recovery has propped up valuations for companies like these, encouraging more of them to explore sales. Quorum is one of at least two dozen software providers in the energy sector that private equity firms took a stake in between 2012 and 2014. Energy tech companies have sprung up as the oil and gas industry expanded, providing software for land management, accounting, and tracking of active oil rigs. Coming up, phone calls are dead, obviously. How voice chat is the future, and the future is now. This is the Wall Street Journal's Tech News Briefing. So the smartphone is many things. One thing that it is not is an actual phone. For some, I hear that it still is most of us text. Is that a good thing? Personal tech columnist for the Journal, David Pierce, does not think so. He is a proponent of bringing sound back to our communication by way of a voice, and he joins us via San Francisco right now to explain. Hey, David.
Hi, thanks for having me back.
Of course. So, you know, times have changed, people have changed, whatever the case is, we don't really like talking on the phone anymore. I'm with that program. I'm a big texter. What seems to have happened? Is it a cultural thing? To state the obvious, have we kind of gotten over talking on the phone?
Yes, very much so. And I think it's less about the fact that we don't like talking to each other or using our voice, or that that's not an efficient way to communicate. And it's more that just phone calls are awful. It's one of those things that I don't think we realized for the longest time, but just the act of getting out your phone and you dial 10 numbers and then you wait and either they pick up or they don't. And
it's exhausting.
And then you have to say hello. And it's like, it's this whole crazy process that turns, you know, where do you want to go for dinner tonight into like a 7-step, 4-minute long
project
thing. And it's just ridiculous. Like that's what needed to go away. And texting, I think, worked in a lot of ways because it just did away with all of the sort of mess around making a phone call.
Yeah, texting is cool, but that even became too much work. But now when texting is too much, you can shout things out and they become a wave of words that you can send. That's good news.
Yeah, so voice messaging is sort of the sweet spot between the phone call and the text message, and it's really great. And it works in a lot of the chat apps people already use. If you're an iPhone user, there's just a microphone button to the right of the text box that you can press and hold, record your voice, and it'll send. It's just like a text, except it's easier for everybody and you can use your voice. There's also apps like Zello and Voxer that work more like walkie-talkies. They basically are sort of smartphone-enabled walkie-talkies. And you press a button, you talk, and then everyone on the other side has it read aloud to them. And that's being used more for businesses and things that would traditionally use sort of the giant big radio and have an earpiece, and you can replace a lot of that with phones. But also Facebook Messenger and WhatsApp have similar features. It's built into a surprising number of things. It's just one of those features that gets a lot of use in places like China, where they use a symbols-based language that can be harder to type. And so voice has been a big part of messaging in general. But I think it just really solves a lot of problems. It's much easier than trying to figure out whether someone is being sarcastic or they're being mean or why they're being so brief. Like it's really like you get a no period in a text and all, you're like, oh, no, are they mad at me? And it's such a ridiculous thing. Like this easy, simple voice thing goes so far in making it better without all the sort of stupidity of a phone call.
Speaking, you mentioned the word walkie-talkie, a big buzzword. And speaking to these new methods of voice chatting, the Apple Watch will soon have a walkie-talkie feature, right? Do you think that's going to be a big deal and further the point that this is where voice communication is going?
I think so. One of the interesting things about the Apple Watch is that it's made a lot of companies, Apple included, try to think about how to do sort of lighter interactions. And I think one of the things that seems clear is that there are going to be lots of devices that we all use to communicate in the future, and most of them will not involve really comfy keyboards. It's one thing to send texts from your keyboard at your laptop or even from your phone, but to have, you know, a smartwatch with a teeny tiny screen, or I don't know, AR glasses with no keyboard at all.
Right.
We just need new ways to talk. And I think Apple is ahead of this. They've actually been talking about a walkie-talkie feature on the Apple Watch for a long time, where you can just press your wrist and talk and the other person will get a message. And it's asynchronous in the same way that texting is. You don't have to respond immediately. You don't have to drop whatever you're doing to hear it. And that's the sort of thing that I think we're going to see a lot of come back as people use devices like the Amazon Echo or Google Home. Those are going to become communication tools. Like that's kind of the new landline in a way.
Right.
And those are the sorts of things that I think are going to bring voice back a lot. And I think it's a really good thing.
We still need to work out some kinks though, right? We're still impossible. Even voice chatting, as cool as it is, it's not perfect.
Yeah, there's still a lot of that. It's easy to kind of lose your thread when you're talking. It's you can't go back and edit the same way you could a text. So the thing that you do when you write a text 10 times to make sure that it's right,
of course,
you can't really do that when you're just sort of nonsensically speaking into a microphone. And then there's the problem of it being read aloud. I think this helps a little bit because people wear headphones a lot. But if you're just walking around in walkie-talkie mode, everyone in the world is going to hear any message that comes through. And there's some tricky both sort of social norms and software problems that come with that I think are going to have to be figured out over the years. But one of the things you really have to do is like make absolutely sure that either you are out of earshot or that you're not about to get a message that somebody else couldn't hear.
David Pierce, thanks as always.
My pleasure.
For more on the story, head to WSJ.com. Wrapping up the tech news briefing for now, I'm Tanya Bustos reporting from the newsroom in New York. Thanks for listening.